Log Talk Radio.
Heir to the throne, and he was fighting in France, and because William the Conqueror had claimed dominion in France, and there was battles between the English and the French, and of course Shakespeare, Henry II, and his wife Eleanor Becquetaine, great movie also. I think the Black Prince died of a fever. People didn't live too long in those days, didn't have antibiotics. The greatest Norwegian composer, Edvard Grieg, born today, and probably one of the more popular piano concertos, the one in A, I think it's A minor. Never could play it myself. And he wrote a lot of other music. Peer Gynt, great romanticist in the 19th century. We have other musicians. Probably the greatest arranger in American history's music, Robert Russell Bennett. He could play. He learned to play every instrument, and he came out of the Midwest. I think it was Kansas City, and he orchestrated many of the Broadway shows like South Pacific, Oklahoma, Carousel. Oh, and the greatest piece of all was. Sorry that we've got this interference here. Victory at Sea. I'm sorry, we've got this interruption, and I'm going to disconnect the phone here. Also on this day, we have Morris Udall. Who was a Mormon congressman and Secretary of the Interior in the Kennedy administration. Great German conductor who was the conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony, Max Rudolph. Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra is one of the oldest symphony orchestras in the country. And if you remember the stripper, David Rose, believe it or not, he was born in London, England. And also another great composer, Meredith Willson, who wrote The Music Man, was born on this day and also died on this day. The father of current governor of New York, Mario Cuomo Sr., born today. Another great musician, popular one, Waylon Jennings. And, of course, if you remember the Happy Hooker, Xavier Hollander, born today. And then I think this guy is a gay actor, Neil Patrick Harris. Among the deaths today, we had Matt Watt Taylor, who was tried for treason and beheaded. And then one of our greatest presidents, he said he was only going to serve for one term. He was from Tennessee. And in his during his administration, we had the Mexican War and expanded the territory of the United States. That was James Knox Polk. And, of course, Meredith Wilson died today. Among the events today, the Assyrians in 763 recorded the first solar eclipse. A lot of scientific achievement in medicine, human advancement came out of the Middle East during that period of history. On this date, the Magna Carta was signed. This is the basis of the U.S. Constitution, but one of the political fallacies about this is that it granted civil rights and human rights, legal rights to everybody. It didn't. It was only for the upper class or the nobles at that time, and it was the nobles who forced King John, who was the heir, the younger brother of Richard Lionhearted, at Runnymede. They had this showdown, and King John, who's probably best known for this statement, when he asked why he didn't bathe, he said, "My sweat bathes me." And this on this date in 1389 is probably the basis for all the problems in the Balkans, of historical problems. The Turks defeated the Serbs and the Bosnians at Kosovo, and of course Kosovo has become in our time a name for some of the most horrible human atrocities inflicted upon the civilian population. And then New Jersey was founded on this day in 1664, and George Washington became commander-in-chief in 1776, and in 1844 we had the 12th Amendment. Excuse me. Among the other events today, Arkansas became the 25th state. A lot of people don't know this, but Al Capone was also down in Arkansas. Maybe that's why they have the politics that they have. In 1844, Goodyear, Charles Goodyear, patented vulcanized rubber, and we see that in tires today. Also, one of the treaties between the United States, Britain, over the Canadian and Oregon borders, the 5440 fight was the war cry at that time. The Oregon border treaty was decided at the 49th parallel. In 1851, we had a guy, Jacob Fussell, who set up the first ice cream factory. And then today, oh yes, and the first white settlement in 1860 was in Idaho. I guess the guys lived on potatoes. And the reason we have Arlington National Cemetery today, a military cemetery, it was Robert E. Lee's home in 1864, became a military cemetery. And in 1869, celluloid was developed. Here's one for the women. In 1871, Phoebe Cousins became the first woman graduate of a law school. Another first for women, in 1876, Sarah Spencer was the first woman to address a national political convention. Another first, in 1877, Henry O. Flipper became the first black graduate of West Point. And then 1878, we had Muybridge, who raised the theory. He demonstrated it by photos, which you can see on this Blog Talk Radio, Amicus Veritas. Do horses run on all fours? And we are going to play the interview that I did with Dr. Jock Anderson, a horse expert. And here is his interview on this issue. What's going on here?
Hello, everyone. This is Paul. Today, in Animals and the Idea of Horses, my guest is Professor Doc Anderson of UC Berkeley. He answers the question, do horses run on all four hoofs? By way of explanation, Professor Anderson refers to the Elgin Marbles, These slabs of stone were taken in the 18th century from Greece by Lord Elgin. They are now in the British Museum. Greek Minister of Culture Melina Mercuri has demanded them back, but so far without success. But here, Professor Anderson successfully tries to answer the question, do horses belong on all four hoofs? Or does equine art reflect reality?
A lot of sculpture, we see the horses with the paws uplifted. Is there any aesthetic significance to this?
Yes, there is, and I would say it was purely aesthetic. The sculptors of the Elgin marbles, for example, they are showing an exciting gallop past of the young knights of the Athenian cavalry. They want to unfreeze the marble to show the horses moving rapidly, and they have no real notion of how a horse moves its feet at the gallop. So they adopt a conventional way, and quite a successful way, of showing it. They know that the horse should be moving rapidly. They know that its legs do come off the ground. They've no notion of what order. So they bring the front legs up off the ground, and they have the horse rearing and tossing its head. And on the whole, I think they are more effective than some of our modern sculptors who have got instantaneous photography to help them. For example, one goes and looks at the trophies at the Grand National Show in the Cow Palace. I see the trophy for buck jumping, where the sculptor who makes a figure of a cowboy on a buck jumping horse has taken a photograph and worked from that, placing everything exactly literally. And this is, on the whole, less successful than if you choose not even a characteristic attitude, it is conventional, and try to imply motion through putting the horse, its body, its legs, in an exciting, dramatic attitude, even if it's not one that any horse could achieve in actual nature.
So that's one time reality, art does not reflect reality.
I should have said so, but you couldn't know before Muybridge and his experiments down at Stanford. Nobody could know, because nobody could see the horse moves too quickly. You cannot actually tell where its legs are with the bare eye. We're so used to the thousandth of a second camera exposure that now we do recognize these things, but certainly one couldn't before the camera.
Going back just real quickly, how about Leonardo da Vinci or any of the sculptors of that period, Bellini or Cellini? Do they represent the animals, you think, more accurately, truly?
More dramatically, but truly, you mean the Battle of Anghiari, for example. Now you're coming out of my special knowledge, but I think that when they are dealing with very violent motion, I don't mean the statues in which Gattinolata, for example, where one sees Sir John Hawkwood, a military commander, on a pacing horse with one leg lifted. It's the violent motion. Once again, not even Michelangelo could see what was actually happening. He is presenting his horses as his men in dramatic, one might almost say, contorted attitudes, which are not in fact true to nature, but because they are exaggerated and forced, convey the notion that he wishes to put across better than the frozen photography of the Cow Palace trophies. I don't say this to abuse either the Cow Palace all the cowboys who compete there. We go every year and thoroughly enjoy it at Marden very much. But I do think that in this instance, the camera has defeated art, which is not really what we're going to look at anyway.
This has been a most enjoyable and expansive interview, Professor Anderson. We've covered everything from Farrier, Horse Factor, to Marcus of Newcastle. I want to thank you for being on the program.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
This is Peter Paul for People, Places, Animals, and the Idea of Horses. Thank you for listening.
Now, that was from our archives of Western Public Radio and KALW-FM and the Carson Brazola Audio Visual Video Historical Archives. We have a lot of rare interviews that we've done, over 1,500. And can't figure this one out. What's going on? And there'll be more. Now, those of you who followed the anti-cigarette proposed legislation here in California, or what is called Prop 29, what was not publicized were two issues that were not publicized. There was no verification of these experts that they used to to want the smoking constituency here in the United States. And it, California in particular, excuse me, got a bug in my throat, but they wanted to impose another dollar a pack tax. Some of those people who supported the Prop 29 dollar more tax on cigarettes were people who were involved in promoting illegal drugs, specifically marijuana or pot for young people. And another aspect of their background is that some of them propose and support teaching children the NAMBLA agenda. Tom Amiano was allegedly the head of NAMBLA. He was a school teacher from New Jersey, got on the San Francisco Unified School Board, there's a question about that, and later became a state legislator and before that a city alderman or councilman. Mark Leno was a rabbinical student, failed, and became a city supervisor here in California. He was also very big in the gay agenda and promoting illegal drugs for youth. So these are some of the questions. Not only that, so if you see people in other states and even provinces look at Prop 29 here in California, so far it looks like it's lost. We don't know exactly because what the status is, because there's still all these uncounted, unexamined absentee ballots. And, of course, that's where a lot of the fraud comes in, which we have witnessed. Now, also propositions in California, if they're successful, like Prop to limit property taxes, that started a firestorm across the entire continent. We've had states that follow California's example, and even Canadian provinces. So what goes on and starts in California, and it can spread, and often does, and whether it ends, often it's for the worst possible motivations. Now, another issue that's come up, and we mustn't forget Lance Armstrong. He's now accused of using enhancement drugs. He denies it vehemently, but he was one of the proponents of the dollar more tax on cigarettes. So it'll be interesting if they can prove that he did take enhancement drugs. And of course, I understand he can't compete in any competitions anymore. We shall see what we shall see. Now, the update on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, what's happened, and we will document this because the United States Navy asked us to investigate the Steve Neri case, U.S. Navy sailor. It's been going on for 16 years, this abuse cover-up. It's the worst case probably in America's judicial history. Anyway, there is now a flood of this military male rape video and video voyeur tapes, and I guess you could call that on the web. And we will document some of that. Also, we have an expurgated tape of the Canadian cannibal. As much as the offensive part has been deleted or excised out of it, and I think we can show it, and we will. It's not for titillation or glorification, but you get an idea what has gone on up there in Montreal and what happened here in San Francisco in a simulated fashion in May of 1997, where top officials of the city and county of San Francisco, as well as some judges, and the mayor was there, Willie Brown was there. There was simulated cannibalism. Guy's back was carved up, and pieces of flesh were offered to the attendees of this party. There were glory holes constructed, and there was allegedly masturbation by a couple of the people attending, and the lesbians were trying to figure out how to use a glory hole. And there was sodomy with a liquor bottle. This also happened in the Canadian Cannibals video. Also, on that video, I looked at it very carefully, and from the shakiness of the camera, it looked like there may have been somebody else in that room when that happened. We're going to see when this guy is extradited finally to Canada. There's no capital punishment up there. Another update, one of our sources, he's dead now, his lover was believed to have been a hit, because this Nick Rommel was one of our best news sources. He was gay in his private life, had a longtime lover, and he was warned to shut up, and his lover, Scotty, was brutally murdered, ironically, by a Canadian. Anyway, he worked as a purser on the Caribbean cruise ship lines, and he said that told me several times that young youths were being abducted for international predators, and this may have happened to that Alabama young girl. We'll find out if Joran VanderSloot, when he's extradited to the United States, whether he will tell what her fate was. He tried to shake down the family for, I think, $25,000. But it's suspected that that young girl may have been abducted for a sexual predator, you know, usually in the Middle East. Senator Lincoln of Arkansas also brought this up then. She was very quiet about this abduction of children. Walsh on TV, who had his son abducted, still missing, raised the issue that these kids are being abducted for sexual predators, and when they're no longer useful, they're killed, and their organs are used, are sold in the black market. So there's a lot going on here. And, of course, we do have foreigners who disrespect Americans, and I'll get into the Florence Jolie case, very interesting what happened there. And then the Johnny Brannon, the news writer who twice libeled U.S. Navy sailor Stephen Neri. We have his articles that he wrote accusing the young sailor of having twice a gay twist with Juan Pifere, the male rapist. And one of the other fallacies is that only women get raped in the military. Rape is rape, whether it's a woman or a man or a female or a male. But what's the difference with the males? They're not reported, even though Newsweek magazine brought it up. You know, we've been talking about it for years. But what has happened here in California and on the West Coast is that Randy Kraft used to pick up young Marines down in Southern California. He would drug them and then rape them and mutilate them and dump their bodies along the remote areas of Southern California. And then with cases, one case as far east as Michigan, and then a few up near the Canadian border. We don't know if he was in Canada doing these horrible acts. But anyway, he was captured, and he is sitting on death row in San Quentin. Now, in California, it takes about 20 years to execute these people. The Ninth Circuit here in San Francisco has a 24-hour death watch where they, if they, a judge will grant a stay on an execution, they are stopped over at San Quentin. So we shall see whether Randy Kraft will be executed in the gas chamber or not. Also over there is this guy, Charles Ng, N-G, who somehow got into the U.S. Marines. He was illegally here in the United States, got in U.S. Marines, went AWOL, apparently, and he murdered and tortured family, and then also murdered a former, well, he's dead now, producer at KLW when I was up there. And we'll bring that case up again. He's sitting on death row also in San Quentin. But a lot of this stuff just gets ignored by those people in the media who have their own agenda. And when those issues are forced out in the open, if they can't censor and suppress them, they lie, distort, and omit about them. Now, Monday we will be talking about who the real Watergate deep throat was. And it was not that FBI agent. The FBI does not have access to the safes in the White House. That is the responsibility of the U.S. Marines. And I've talked to several military intelligence people, people in the Marines, in the Navy, the Army, and they all say the same thing. It was not that late FBI agent. He's dead now. And so this may be another political fiction, but that FBI agent was a conduit, but he was not the source. This is what I'm told, and we will disclose who we were told the source really was. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. We still have the politics, but nobody's playing poker so far. They may decide who's going to be the nominee. And, of course, they may replace Biden. Wouldn't surprise me if they do. They did that with Rockefeller in the Ford administration. Rockefeller became vice president when Spiro Agnew was forced out. And then when Ford decided to run on his own, he dumped Rockefeller and chose Dole. And, of course, they lost to Jimmy Carter. Anyway, we'll end this weekend with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to go, what to
do. All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
That's the problem that the Republicans may have. Better get somebody whose name the media can spell. This is Peter Paul Brazola. We will be back Monday, and we will. One of our features will be deep throat in Watergate of someone else other than the FBI agent. This is Peter Paul Brazola, and we've got to get this thing fixed. Good night.